Cash is going to bring to us this morning's reading. Thank you, Cash.
Good morning, Church. Today's reading is from Revelation 21, verse 1 to the end of the chapter. And you can find it on page 1249 on your church, in your church Bible. A new heaven and a new earth. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them, and there will be and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the adulterers, and all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death." One of the seven angels, who had the seven bowls full of seven plagues, came and said to me, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high, and showed me the holy city Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of very precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, and with 12 angels at the gates. On the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. There were 3 gates on the east, 3 on the north, 3 on the south, and 3 on the west. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of 12 apostles of the Lamb. The angel who talked with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city, its gates, and its walls. The city was laid out like a square, as long as it was wide. He measured the city with the rod and found it to be 12,000 stadia in length, and as wide and high as it is long. The angel measured the wall using human measurement, and it was 144 cubits thick. The wall was made of jasper, and the city of pure gold, as pure as glass. The foundations of the city walls were decorated with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth ruby, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth turquoise, the 11th jacinth, and 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate made of a single pearl. The great street of the city was of gold, as pure as transparent glass. I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives its light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gate ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen.
Thank you, Kashif. As you could observe, chapter 21 in the book of Revelation speaks about what will happen then, at the end of times. But as you could also observe in this chapter, what happens then is very, very relevant to what happens to us today. It was not easy for me to come with a title for this sermon, but graciously my host Howard and Maura helped me, and after I share with them what God put on my heart to speak, they helped me to come with the title. You will find it a bit later. Before that, let me share with you a true story from our church. Some time ago, a family from our church, very good family, was asked by a neighbor, a lady, elderly lady, 95, after she watched their life, observed them, came to them and said, "Look, I watched you. You are a very good people. And I have no more family, no more relatives, and I need somebody to take care of me. Would you do that? And instead, for what you are doing, I will give you my apartment." They started to take care of her. This is a common practice in Romania. They started to take care of her. And being good Christians, they tried to find ways to share the gospel with her. She was a nice lady, healthy mentally and physically. And one day, they observed that on a shelf she had a Bible. And they said, "That's the moment." And asked her, "Mrs., have you ever read the Bible?" And her answer was, no, not yet. No hurry. I have a lot of time ahead." So the title of the sermon will be, "If Not Now, Then Will Be Too Late." Coming here by car, 1,500 miles, about, it reminded me that life on earth is a journey for every one of us. But for some, it's only a journey from birth to death. But for us, for those that experience the redemption through the blood of Christ, this journey is to the heavenly home, where we will be forever with our Lord and Savior. There we will be always with God. In this journey, we experience, as the Bible says in Psalm 90, the reality of a life full of trouble and sorrow. We have many joys in life. Our second granddaughter was born, when we married, when the children were born, when they married. But when I put in a balance the joys and the sorrows, the troubles and sorrows are heavier. This is life on earth. For this reason, we are longing for a radical change, especially when going through trials, through pain, suffering, illness. My wife Gina is using an oxygen concentrator machine, sometimes two. She has an old one that works not very well. And by God's grace, through your help, she got a new one 2 years ago. But even like that, she doesn't have enough air. She cannot do more than several steps, and then she becomes blue, her lips, the oxygenation goes under the minimum limit. She's longing to have new lungs, to have enough air. She's longing for a time when she will be fully healed. Many times when she talks to us, to her family and other people in the church, she says the following thing: I'm sure that I will be healed, but I don't know when, this part of heaven or the other side. She almost died 3 times, but God every time touched her and regave her life. When we see so much suffering around us, so much pain and also injustice, corruption, immorality, I'm sure we are all longing for a new world in which all this will disappear. And that world will come. Chapter 21 in Revelation starts by speaking about this new world. Still a world, but radically renewed. Let's see what this first passage in this chapter is speaking about: change and renewal. We'll start, we have 3 main points: what it says and the importance of renewal, of change. Secondly, what does that change, when that does this change will take place? And the third, what does it mean for us, for me? What are the implications? First, what the Bible says here. First, it says that some things will be totally renewed. Verse 1, a new heaven and a new earth, a new Jerusalem, and also a new situation in which God will live forever with his people. Extraordinary. Then, we are told that some things will be no more. A radical change. No more sea. Pastor John probably explained to you about this, or will, I don't know if you ask. Yeah, we don't have time. There will be no tears, no suffering, no death, no mourning, no curse, no sin. There will come a time when all this will disappear. A radical change. And verse 5, God says, and is a culmination of what he said until now, that God will make everything new. And then verse 5 continues and says, then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. What God wanted to communicate to us is this information about the new world is something very important. Write it down. Pay attention. This radical renewal also is not only for us at the level of information. It contains something extremely important. We have to pay attention. It is something that requires some action from our side. The second main point. When do these changes take place? There are 2 categories here. The first category speaks about changes that are specific to the end of time. A new heaven and a new earth, full God's presence, that, let's not forget, is anticipated in the Lord's Supper. And I want to read this verse I like a lot. Matthew 26, verse 29. I tell you, said Jesus, I will not drink of this fruit of the wine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. At Lord's Supper we anticipate what will be now. when we'll be fully in the presence of the Lord. Also, then the pain, the suffering, tears, that will disappear. These are the changes that God decided to take place then and not now. What are the implications for us? If Christ is in us and we are in Christ, we are already in God's kingdom. We are already His children, but not yet fully experiencing His kingdom and what will happen then, because those changes will take place later. When you are going through pain, through suffering, we are praying, God deliver us, God heal us. Sometimes God is choosing to heal us. Sometimes God help us and be conquerors, and God is with us. But full healing, full experience of the kingdom will be then. This should be an encouragement for us. Life on earth, compared with eternity, is like a dot on an infinite line. In this dot, we experience pain and suffering. But on that infinite line, we will not. They will disappear. So if you are going through these times of trouble and sorrow, do not lose heart. Don't be discouraged. There will be a time when there will be no tears, no suffering, no cancer, no scleroderma, you name it. Praise the Lord. We will be part of that world if the change in our life started now. There are some changes, and this is the transition to something, to the second category. There are some changes that in order to be effective then, have to start now. They have to start taking place now in our life and continue until then. Verse 8 and the last verse in the chapter reveal us the relationship between now and then. In verse 8, after we are told that everything will be made new, I'm shocked to observe that also something will not become new. Some people will be not renewed. They will be the same and suffer the consequences. Verse 8, let's read it. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. They will be the same as they were in their life. They will not experience the new Jerusalem. They will not experience the new world, and there will be no pain, no tear. By the contrary. And the last verse. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. These people did not experience a change while they were alive, living. So they remain the same. They will not be part of the radical new world, but part of the lake of fire, totally separated from God, which means a second death for them. Here is the principle. Those who are not experiencing renewal now and until then will not experience that radical renewal and participation in the new Jerusalem, where will be no more tears, pain, suffering, because God will be fully present. If you are not experiencing this renewal now, you will not be part of that world. In the 1980s, communism time, we had in Timișoara a famous professor of sociology, Professor Wurtz. Very clever man. He read a lot. He knew the Bible better than many Christians, but he was not a Christian. He was a researcher for an institute in Moscow that wanted to eradicate Christianity. He worked for them, and what he did? He started a kind of Bible study group in Timișoara. That was the temptation. He knew the Bible, and he invited some bright young people from different denomination, Christian denomination in Timișoara. Started this Bible study with the purpose of trying to find a method that will be implemented in eradicating Christianity. He never told them that God doesn't exist. He never told them atheistic ideas. Do you know what he did? He bombarded them with liberal theology. And one of the things he told them was the following, is known in theology as universalism, which says that at the end, because God is love and good, everybody will be saved. Even there will be a period, and he had a whole theology, a short period of punishment, finally everybody will be saved. So what he wanted to communicate is that you can live anyhow now, because anyway you will be renewed. You will be part of that new radical world. All these young people, very clever, went astray. And they created many, many problems in the churches. One of them was in our church, with big problems in that time. It took him 22 years to recover. And it was God's grace. I don't know if the others recovered. But they created many problems, very effective problem. So the Satan came with this idea. Now, what does it mean for us and for me? We have seen several things. We have seen that God's intention is to make everything new. It is important, write it, he said. It's an important concept in God's eyes, and it should be important for us. Renewal of some things, we have seen, depend totally on God. Heaven, earth, is his decision. Exclusive decision. God will do this, with or without us. Doesn't matter what we are doing. However, there are some aspects that are in the area of our responsibility. The start of renewal has to take place now in our lives in order to experience the total renewal then. God is doing the change, but we have to do our part. Now let me explain. You know about Mark Twain, yeah, famous writer. He was a great smoker, and he said the following thing: the easiest thing in the world is to get rid of smoking. I've done it 300 times. This is what happens when you try to change yourself with your own power. No. We are changed by God. But in order to be changed, we have to want to be changed. To come before the Lord and say, Lord, I repent for what I've done. I don't want to do that. I hate sin. I hate what I've done until now. I want to change. And he will change you if you repent and put your trust in him. Some people try to change without God. It's not working. You will change all your life and nothing will happen. The process, this process of renewal starts in our life with a new birth or being born again. In John chapter 3, Jesus has a discussion with a wise man, Nicodemus. And Jesus told him, you must be born again. But Nicodemus did not understand. He did not understand because his mind was not spiritually attuned to God. In Greek, there are two words for new. One word is neos, which means when you refer to something new, it's a second edition. For instance, you have a new car. This means that you got rid of the old car and you have a new car. This is neos. But if you say, I have a new bathroom, yeah, you did not build probably another bathroom, but the old bathroom, you made radical changes that you cannot recognize, but is a new bathroom, but in the other sense, kainos in Greek. New in quality is a better bathroom. Jesus, when he told Nicodemus, you must be born again, he referred to this second term, kainos, you must be born again, not to have a second copy, a clone of Nicodemus, but a Nicodemus that was spiritually renewed. Spiritual regeneration. This new birth marks the beginning of our transformation. This is just the beginning. In order to experience the new birth, you have to come before the Lord. Only He can do through His Holy Spirit. You have to come to Him and say, I recognize that I'm not how I should be. Please, Lord, renew me. Bring spiritual restoration in my life. I've sinned, I've done a lot of bad things, I repent, and I want to change my life. I cannot change it, but you can change it. Come with your Holy Spirit and make me new. This is the beginning, and then our life, in order to experience the radical change, then has to continue with the sanctification. Which means that every day we become more and more like Christ. We have a problem in Romania, maybe you have here. Many come to the Lord and they baptize and they say, okay, that's it. No, this is just the beginning. God saves us and brings us in the body of Christ that is the church in order that we will grow and become more and more like Jesus. And this is the process of sanctification. Brothers and sisters and dear friends of this church, we live in the last days. We see what's happening around us. The signs that Jesus told us are happening now. The end is near. The great reformer Martin Luther said the following thing. I know only 2 days. Now and then. We live between now and then. If now this change is not taking place in us, then no chance. In order to experience the radical renewal then, you have to experience renewal now. Now I have 3 applications for you. Yeah, I have 2 more minutes. Enough. First of all, for 3 categories of people. If you are among those that are in pain, suffering, or going through a trial for different reasons, the message contained in this chapter should be an encouragement for you. Do not despair. If you have Jesus as your Lord, there will come a day when there will be no more pain, no more tears, no suffering. That day will come. Continue to grow in Him, and He will take care of you. Second, maybe there are among us people that, yes, really experienced the new birth. You were baptized, but something happened on the way in your life. You started to be more superficial in your faith. You stumbled. You have to wake up. Addressing to the Thessalonians that were very preoccupied to be prepared for Jesus' coming, Paul told them, if you know the date, you will not be better prepared. There is another solution. And he told them that there are 3 categories of people that are not prepared. those that live in darkness, that live in sin and did not experience the new birth. Those, he said, that sleep, that are in spiritual sleepiness. Maybe you are, if you sleep from a spiritual point of view, for sure you are not prepared. In Romania, many things in the following way. They go in the car with high speed and think, it will not happen to me. If the same thing happens in the spiritual realm. Many are in spiritual sleepiness and they think it will not happen while I'm asleep. But if the Lord will come when you sleep, what happened? Paul says you are not prepared. And the third category, those that are drunk. Drunk not only with alcohol, but became drunk with the things of this world. If you are in this situation and spiritual growth stopped in your life, wake up and do something. God wants you to change, so he will change you, but you have to do something. Start cultivating your relationship with God. Do not neglect spiritual disciplines, and God will help you grow. You have to continue to grow. The third category, maybe among us there are people, maybe from your families, maybe you are attending this church, but you never experienced the new birth. Don't postpone. That lady that I started in the beginning, 95, she said, I have time ahead. You don't have time. Start now. Come now before the Lord, ask forgiveness, and ask him to change your life to be sure that then you will be among those that will be in God's kingdom, in the New Jerusalem, where you will live forever with the Lord. Amen.